This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The Bush administration has quietly withdrawn a 400-member military team it sent to Baghdad to scour Iraq for evidence of unconventional weapons. The move indicates that the U.S. does not now expect to find illegal weapons, the main reason given by Bush for the war last year that toppled Saddam Hussein. At the same time, a prestigious Washington-based research foundation, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, has published a scathing report on Bush's case for war. The U.S. weapons team, whose withdrawal was reported yesterday by the New York Times, is the key unit of a 1,400-member U.S. survey group sent to find weapons of mass destruction. Head of the group, Mr. David Kay, is in Washington with his Deputy General Keith Dayton and may quit his post soon, the paper also reported. The country's ballooning trade deficit is threatening to push up interest rates across the globe and destabilize the international economy. One of the world's most powerful financial institutions has warned. The budget deficit, which has swung from a healthy surplus in 2000 to a forecast blowout of more than $521.2 billion this year, was a significant risk for the rest of the world, the International Monetary Fund said yesterday. Sustained fiscal deficits lower national savings in the United States and will eventually raise real interest rates in both the United States and abroad, said Charles Collins, deputy director of its Western Hemisphere Department. George W. Bush plans a major policy speech next week in which he'll promote a new space initiative, senior administration officials said Thursday. Bush will lay out his vision for expanding the space program, which is expected to include long-term moves for manned missions to the moon and eventual manned missions to Mars, an official said. NASA's target for a moon mission is 2018. The speech will come just a couple of weeks before the anniversary of the breakup of the space shuttle Columbia as it returned to Earth last February 1st. White House spokesman Scott McClellan, traveling with Bush in Florida, confirmed the announcement will take place next week and said it would be an outgrowth of a review of the space program that began after the shuttle disaster.
More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A woman who said she lost the winning ticket for a $162 million lottery prize will pursue her claim in court, despite possible questions about her credibility, her lawyer said on Wednesday. Alicia Battle went to court on Tuesday to try and stop Ohio lottery officials from distributing the prize they had awarded a few hours earlier to Rebecca Jemison. Battle claims she bought the winning ticket but lost it when she dropped her purse outside the door. Jemison said she had it all along and had played the same numbers often.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Here's an inspiring story of renewal and human gumption to cheer you. It comes from Detroit, the hard-hit, gritty city that has lost thousands of its jobs and suffered a massive outflow of population over the last few decades, leaving hundreds of abandoned buildings and vacant lots. Indeed, a third of the property within the city limits is nothing but boarded-up buildings and trash-littered lots. But today, something new is growing in Detroit, literally. Coming off of dozens of those vacant lots are tons of hay, honey, chickens, goat's milk, tomatoes, herbs, beans, and even beef. This urban agricultural abundance is being produced by a hardy group of Detroiters who are turning Motor City into Garden City. More than 40 community gardens and micro farms, working with churches, schools, food banks, homeless groups, community organizations, and activists, not only grow a cornucopia of food in this city, but also process it and distribute it, offering a terrific example of truly grassroots economic development. One of these urban farmers is Paul Wiertz, a science teacher who a decade ago wanted to connect his inner-city students to nature and food. He and about 100 student volunteers have converted 7 abandoned lots into 10 acres of fertile farmland. Now there are even rabbits and pheasants that have been drawn to this revitalized acreage in one of America's biggest cities, a phenomena he calls a totally surreal experience. But it's real, beautiful, and both economically and spiritually uplifting. Detroit City farmers are also converting an old auto shop into a community center with a greenhouse, cannery, and cafe. This farm-based revival draws other small businesses to the neighborhood. Growing vegetables is just a vehicle for other kinds of change, says one farmer. This is Jim Hightower saying, these Detroiters are showing us that true grassroots growth comes not from corporate trickle-down, but from ourselves. To learn more, go to the Detroit Planning Group's website, adamha.org.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
We've got no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
And that's our guest, George Bush. He said, I'm sorry, what was that again?
We've got no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
No, and yesterday, Secretary of State Colin Powell said the same thing. He conceded Thursday that despite his assertions to the United Nations last year, in which he went on at some length about connections between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. He alleged that there were al-Qaeda operatives. Well, here's the exact quote. I want to bring to your attention today the potentially much more sinister nexus between Iraq and the al-Qaeda terrorist network. Al-Qaeda affiliates based in Baghdad now coordinate the movement of people, money, and supplies into and throughout Iraq for Saddam's network, and they have been operating freely in Baghdad. End quote. That was Colin Powell on February 5th of 2003, just about a year ago, 11 months ago. And yesterday, and I quote, I have not seen smoking gun concrete evidence about the connection between Iraq and al-Qaeda. So Bush says it, Cheney has not said it, but Colin Powell... What boggles my mind with regard to this, and well, just to start this off, I mean, here in Vermont, and this, I present this not as a local story because I'm in Vermont, because every single state is affected by this, but Vermont has had more deaths per capita than any state in the United States in Iraq. In part, that's because we're a small state. In part, it's because Vermont is a very rural state where a lot of people don't have particularly high incomes, and the military is one way to essentially climb out of poverty. You know, it's a job. It's the employer of last resort. And not to say that Vermont is a poor state, but there is a lot of poverty in Vermont.
And our per capita death rate is one out of every 123,821 people in Vermont has died in Iraq. The next up from us is Wyoming, and then South Dakota, then North Dakota. See, they're all small states that have the same problem. And then we get to Delaware and Washington, D.C., and then Mississippi, one out of every quarter million people. Iowa, one out of every 300,000 people. Up to Nebraska, number 10, one out of every 350,000 people, has died in Iraq. And this front page story, Vermont soldier's mother recalls son's final visit. And there's a picture of this woman, Helen Therrien, with a sad look on her face. Well, pauses. The caption says, Helen Therrien pauses while speaking about the death of her 24-year-old son. He was an Army specialist. His name is Solomon. At their home in Jay, Vermont, on Monday afternoon. He was a soldier in the 82nd Airborne Division and was killed on Friday in Iraq. And a photo of him stands on the table next to her. And the story says he was about to board a bus that would take him to Baghdad, where a flight would leave him back to the war in Iraq. To Boston. He had been home in Vermont for 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. Here he is in Vermont. He's about to leave to go back to Iraq. He had been home in Vermont for 2 months before Thanksgiving. The normally quiet young man was more silent than usual as he parted from his mother and stepfather. When he spoke the words of a soldier whose trademark courage made room for fear. He said, and I quote, he said, "It is very, very dangerous." This is his mother speaking. Tears came down his face, and he said, "I may not come back." He put his head down and said, "I don't want to go." His mother felt his pain. "I won't forget that," Helen Therrien said. "When I looked at him, I said, oh, my God, this might be the last time." He died on Friday. We have had more people in the state of Vermont die in Iraq in the last year than have died in murders in the state of Vermont in the last 3 years. Now we know why George Bush has not attended one single soldier's funeral. Bill Clinton attended funerals. Jimmy Carter attended funerals. Richard Nixon attended funerals. Ronald Reagan attended funerals. Dwight Eisenhower attended funerals. FDR attended. Harry Truman. George Washington attended funerals. But not this guy. And here we find, at the highest level now, George Bush and Colin Powell saying, no, apparently there was no threat to America. So why then did we do this? Why was it so important that, the evidence coming out now, we see this new report that was issued yesterday or the day before by the Carnegie, I guess they pronounce it, Endowment for Peace, that admittedly you could say a biased organization, right, a foundation for peace, but one that is very highly respected in the academic world. These guys do their homework. And they went through all the information that was available to the administration that they shared with us before the war and what we've found since, and looked at the claims that were made and basically said, these guys cooked the books. They lied to us. George Bush and Dick Cheney and Colin Powell and Donald Rumsfeld lied to you and me. And as a result of that, this woman's son, this woman who lives about 30 miles from me, her son is dead right now. And he's not the only one. Something on the order of more or less 20,000 human beings, innocent human beings. I'm not counting the Iraqi soldiers that were killed. We don't know how many there were. But the best estimates of the Associated Press are that between 10 and 20,000 civilians died.
not to mention nearly 500 U.S. soldiers, not to mention a couple of thousand U.S. soldiers who have lost legs and arms, who for the rest of their lives are going to be disabled, blinded, deaf, disfigured. Why would they lie to us for this? I mean, this is really serious stuff. And it's a question I think we really need to ask. And there's some possible answers. Of course, first of all, George W. Bush is going to try to deflect attention away from this. And he's going to use an old trick that John Kennedy was the last to use. When the Bay of Pigs invasion went down in flames, you know, the disastrous Bay of Pigs, Ted Sorensen, who was the official biographer of John Kennedy, or one of several, he was a speechwriter for Kennedy, too, at the time, he said that JFK basically pretty much had to come up with something to divert people's attention away from the Bay of Pigs, and that's when JFK suggested that we put a man on the moon. Now, you know, JFK thought it was a great and noble thing, but he was getting a lot of pressure from his brother to do something about poverty and segregation. And he knew that America had a lot of problems. But he also knew that his political future depended on distracting people from the Bay of Pigs distraction, and he needed some big initiative, something really good. Yeah, this is really extraordinary. Look at this. And so he announced the mission to put a man on the moon. And we did. Several of them, actually. So now here we read in the Associated Press today, President Bush will announce plans next week to send Americans to Mars and establish a permanent human presence on the moon. You know, George, I'd rather have health care. I mean, it's really just that simple. I'd rather have the balanced budget. I'd rather have the, you know, I'd rather not have my children be $50,000 in debt right now to pay for your tax cuts for wealthy Americans. This is, you know, John Kennedy wasn't dealing with a $44 trillion potential debt with a current debt of $7 trillion. When John Kennedy was in office, our debt was just a few hundred billion dollars. The entire debt of the entire United States when John Kennedy was in office was less than the amount of debt that George Bush right now is running up in 1 year. He had a little wiggle room. He could afford to say, well, let's go to the moon and let's do something about segregation and poverty. Ultimately, LBJ picked that up. But again, I would say partly out of the goodness of his heart, although he was a cynical politician, LBJ, and a very corrupt man in many ways, in my opinion. For those of you who are interested in history, there's a marvelous book, it's probably out of print now, called A Texan Looks at Lyndon by one of his congressional opponents but I digress. So what are we going to do? What is happening here? What is going on? By the way, at the same time that this is happening, Dick Cheney is the target of a criminal investigation in France for a bribery scandal when he was CEO of Halliburton. And I mentioned this last week, and the week before last, I said, you know, I don't know if this is going to go anywhere. Well, now it's made the AP Newswire that a judge is looking into who may have benefited from nearly $200 million in potentially illegal commissions allegedly handed out from 1990 to 2002. In May, Halliburton admitted that under Cheney's stewardship, it paid $2.4 million in bribes to Nigerian officials to get favorable tax treatment. And the Times of London reports the investigation specifically focuses on the criminal charges of misuse of corporate funds and corruption of foreign public agents. This is directed not against Halliburton, but specifically against Dick Cheney. The Sydney, Australia Morning Herald reports the investigative judge is specifically targeting Cheney for his alleged complicity in the abuse of corporate assets. See, we signed a treaty in 1997 that means that, of course, I guess we could walk away from that treaty too. Under the auspices of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, aims to fight corporate attempts to buy favors of political authorities abroad. In other words, we as a nation said, no, we're not going to do this. But anyhow, why would we go to war in Iraq if we didn't believe that there was a threat there? You know, the cons say, well, the French thought there was a threat. The French didn't think there was a threat there. Neither did the Russians. Neither did anybody else except us and Tony Blair. Why is that? We'll get into this when we come back. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Cashman on the IE America Radio Network. And the fifth option, this how will Bush deal with the deficits? Connecting the Dots to Iraq article was written by Robert Freeman and published on commondreams.org last week on January 5th. This week, I guess, this Monday. And he makes the point, and I came across this morning. It was published last week. I started to make these points yesterday. I got into a couple of them, but he did a really good job of organizing all five of them. I just want to share this with you. What do you do when your country is going bankrupt because of corrupt policies? Now, sometimes the corrupt policies are external. I mean, the Weimar Republic of Germany was bankrupted by the Treaty of Versailles. Germany was forced to pay back reparations for World War I, and those reparations were just so overwhelming that they couldn't do it. So what did they do? They printed money. Said, okay, fine, you want it, you know, we owe you a million marks? No problem. We print so much money that a million marks will now buy a loaf of bread. Here's your million marks, and you pay back your debt with a deflated currency. Now, the problem, of course, was that it destroyed the German internal economy and paved the way for the rise of Adolf Hitler. But it solved the external debt problem. See, George W., with his huge tax cuts for the rich, has driven us into such deep debt that now the International Monetary Fund is warning us that they may do to the United States what they did to Argentina. A, quote, dire warning. So one thing that a country can do is inflate its currency. We have danced with that. Well, our printing presses are running pretty hot. And it's one of the reasons why the dollar has fallen by a third against other international currencies. It's nothing like what the Weimar Republic did. And it's not going to help Bush pay off the $7 trillion debt that we have right now. It's a problem, though, because it's going to mean that for the continuing debt, as debt continues to go on, we need to keep borrowing from overseas, from primarily China and Saudi Arabia and Japan, the countries that are the largest purchasers of U.S. treasuries. And they're saying, hey, you know, we buy a million or $1 billion or $100 billion a year debt, and then you pay us back with currency that's worth 30% less just a year later. We've been screwed. We're not going to go for this. And we're seeing now the diminishing investment in the United States. That is to say, people are not, you know, countries are not willing to buy our debt any longer. And that means that we're going to have to start raising our interest rates in order to attract people. We're going to have to say, okay, well, we'll pay you more money if you'll take our debt. And when the interest rates go up, the housing market crashes, and everything disintegrates in the United States, because the housing market is the debt that has been financing the consumer, quote, rebound. And the big question in a lot of people's minds is, does it happen before or after November of 2004? Because it's going to happen, in all probability, unless somebody else is elected and in January of 2005 takes radical and immediate action to repeal the Bush tax cuts and put this country back on a balanced budget and a rational course. So that's one thing that you can do. Another is you can raise taxes and pay your bills. King George III tried that after the Seven-Year War with France in 1763. The problem was that he raised the taxes so much that it plunged Britain into a depression, which, and America, the depression of the 1770s, which some say is what led to the consumer revolt against the British East India Company in 1773, called the Boston Tea Party, which led to the American Revolution in 1776. Another option is to sell off the national assets. Bush and company are doing this aggressively, selling our oil, selling our national parks, but it's not going to raise enough money. It's just not going to work. So we get to the fifth option, plunder. We'll nail that down when we come back. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some chemicals widely used as flame retardants might be harming lives as much as saving them. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Several kinds of chemicals known as PBDEs are used to keep a wide variety of consumer products from burning easily. The list includes furniture, textiles, and electronic equipment. Scientists believe that PBDEs slowly escape from those products and get into the environment. Evidence is mounting that exposure to these compounds might be particularly harmful to the fetuses of animals and people. Linda Birnbaum directs the Experimental Toxicology Division of the Environmental Protection Agency in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Birnbaum says use of PBDEs in the United States has been increasing rapidly for more than a decade.
The PBDEs were really first introduced into commerce in the early 70s, but their use has increased dramatically over the past 10 to 15 years. And the concern with the PBDEs really started in the very late 1990s when they were first detected in not only wildlife, but in human blood and milk samples.
Birnbaum says evidence of the danger of PBDEs is preliminary, but it needs to be taken seriously.
These chemicals have such long lifetimes in the environment and in our bodies that the longer we continue to use them, the longer it'll take to get rid of them if we find out we have a problem.
Birnbaum says many European industries have voluntarily stopped using several forms of PBDEs. As a result, people in Europe have blood levels of the chemical that are just 1/10 to 1/20 of the levels in Americans. She says one U.S. company has voluntarily agreed to halt production by the end of 2004, and other companies are looking for safe alternatives. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
There's a nail in the door and there's glass on the lawn. Tacks on the floor and the TV is on. They'll always sleep with my guns when you're gone.
And welcome back. Transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. We must. We absolutely must. Do you realize our liberties are being lost? Our property is being appropriated, the commons, that which we collectively own. In fact, we're going back to it. What are the options that a country has when it puts itself in the kind of debt crisis that George Bush has thrown us into? And, you know, they can print money, as we said. They can raise taxes and pay their bills. They can They can sell off the national assets. Now, this one raises an interesting question. What are the national assets? For example, when George Bush announced to the world that he was about to invade Iraq, he said, and now to the Iraqi people, I'd like to speak to you for a moment. And he could have said, we're going to send our soldiers over there, but they're after Saddam. They're after the bad guys. Please don't harass them or shoot them. You know, please cooperate with them. We value our people. We'd like them to come back alive, too. Something like that. But no, instead, this was George Bush's message to the Iraqi people.
Your fate will depend on your actions. Do not destroy oil wells.
And then he says, do not destroy oil wells. And then he says,
do not destroy oil wells, a source of wealth that belongs to the Iraqi people.
Which raises the question, do the oil wells of America belong to the American people? Well, certainly not. I mean, or do they? I mean, we've got public lands that they want to drill on. They want to pull the oil out of, like in Alaska. And this administration has put forward a program that would allow oil companies to go in and take the oil out and not pay us for it. So anyhow, they're selling off our national assets. And another option, which I didn't mention before, is to simply repudiate the debt. This is what the Bolsheviks did after the Bolshevik Revolution. They said, hey, you know, those debts, that was the Tsar who ran those things up. We don't owe anybody anything. And just thumb their nose at the world. And that can bite you. But that's what happened after the Russian Revolution. And then finally, there's plunder. This is what the Romans did. They said, we're out of money. We're out of wealth. We're out of fuel. We'll go take it from somebody else. And again, this raises the question, why would George Bush say to the Iraqi people before we attacked, instead of saying, hey, you've got nasty people there. Hey, we know you've got weapons of mass destruction. When our soldiers show up, would you please point them out to them? Help us find these things. Anything like that? Did he say, please don't shoot mustard gas at our people because we know you've got it, or VX or Sarah? No. He said,
your fate will depend on your actions. Do not destroy oil wells.
And the entire world is going, now we know why Bush lied and thousands died. Could it be? I hope not. I truly hope not. I would hate to think that anybody leading this country would lead us into war to seize and secure the assets of another nation, even if the Project for a New American Century implies that that's what we must do if we want to be safe. Even if George Herbert Walker Bush said, if the American lifestyle is not negotiable, if you're going to have SUVs and we're going to import 40, 45, 50% of our oil from overseas, and the major source in the world of that oil is the Middle East, and it's in the interest of the United States, our national security, to have that area secure and locked down and control of that oil, because we can't afford to have another 1973-style oil embargo or any more problems with OPEC. Nonetheless, see, this is the argument that's made. And it all assumes that there are no alternatives to oil. And it assumes that because the oil industry has bought and sold this administration. After all, we have an oil industry CEO as president, an oil industry CEO as vice president, and Condoleezza Rice, before she became national security advisor, worked for ExxonMobil. They've got an oil tanker named after her called the Condoleezza Rice. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Margaret in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Margaret.
Oh, thanks for letting me call. You know,
you're always welcome to call.
Well, I've been listening to what you said, and I've called for something else. But what I wanted to know, I called the federal government at one time to find out how I could go offshore. A lot of the people who don't know how to do that, only the rich go offshore. And I want to know if I could do that. However, that's not why I called. I called because...
That's a great question, though. You know, what did they say?
I mean, I want to go offshore and put my money somewhere because... When listening to you, and there are so many people who pay taxes in this country who don't know what the other options are, because all the federal, not the federal government, but the corporations have so many ways to get tax breaks. And I was listening to Peter B., I think, and he was talking about David Key Johnson's book about Perfectly Legal, on how the rich keep their money. in all different kinds of ways. So I want to know how to go offshore and keep my stuff.
But yeah, well, mostly... I'm sorry. Go ahead. That's
what I really called about was I thought you had said that if we called CA43121, that we could get the capital telephone operators to connect us with any of the federal agencies. I know they connect us with the Senate and the House because I used to be there. But I didn't know that they could connect with the federal agencies, and I thought that you indicated that they could.
I'm not sure if they can or not. I know they can connect you to the... They can't, okay.
I called, and she says, no, you got the wrong information.
Yeah,
and I asked the gentleman before I got you. I didn't know whether I should say to ask you that or not, and he said,
No,
why
that's
not?
Fine. It's huh? I am always pleased to be corrected when I'm wrong. My recollection is that what I had said was that number would get you the House, the Senate, or the White House.
Well, I don't know that it gets you the White House. It could, but whenever I call the White House on the number that you give, I call it all the time. They don't listen. I ask them. They say, we put it down and we'll tell the president. But I question that, too. But anyway.
Yeah, it's like a poll that they're doing. And the number, by the way, Margaret, is 202, area code 202. And we're going to have Congressman Bernie Sanders on in 20 minutes. Our Friday afternoon brunch with Bernie segment. So, you know, if anybody has or if you have
any
questions.
Maybe you can ask him how the ordinary person can go offshore with their money.
I will. Or if you'd like, you can call back and ask him. But the number is area code 202 for those who in our listening audience who might want to write it down.
Yeah.
Area code 202-224-3121.
You can't. They won't connect you with the federal agencies, but I do call the senators, but you can't get them. You always get the receptionist, and having been there, they don't tell you anything.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Margaret. Some do and some don't. And Bernie is quite outspoken about the importance of actually calling. And I suspect that your messages are getting through more than you think. Although, you know, it's interesting. You said you were there. I'm curious about that. But anyhow, let's get back to this here. Bush lied, thousands died. Is blood on his hands, or did he just screw up? If he screwed up, was it our intelligence apparatus? I mean, why would it be? See, the right wing, why would it be that war would not be the last option? The talking points that are put out by the right wing, and you will hear them literally every day, because they are trying to drumbeat this into people. They're reinventing history. The talking point is that the entire world was convinced that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and presented a threat. Right? You see a debate between somebody on the left and somebody on the right, like on Crossfire, you know, somebody, and somebody will say, well, Bush lied and thousands died, and the guy on the other side says, well, if Bush lied, then so did Chirac in France, and so did Putin in Russia, because they all thought that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. No, not the case. Sorry. False. Beep. You lose. The United Nations had sent Hans Blix, over there, and he looked around, and he was reporting back that he couldn't find anything, and that he was quite sure that there wasn't anything there. The French did not think that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That's why they opposed our going in there. The Russians did not think that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That's why they opposed our going in there. The Chinese did not think that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That's why they opposed our going in there. And on the list goes through the 40, 50, 60 countries that were outspoken in their opposition to our going in there. The only country that piped up and said, yeah, we think there's weapons there, was Poodle Tony. Tony Blair, England, and within the United Kingdom, you had this huge debate going on. Huge debate going on. So is it the fifth option? Is it plunder? And if so, does that make George W. Bush a war criminal? Time will tell. 1-800-TALK-YES. Paul in Detroit is on the line. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hello, Tom. I have an answer for Margaret's question. It's pretty easy. All she has to do is go to the Chase, JP Morgan Chase private bank website, and she'll get instructions as to how to move money into Bermuda. She'll need a minimum of $5 million in cash to open an account in either the Bermuda or Cayman Islands.
Right. And therein is the rub, eh, Paul?
Absolutely. And one more thing. I have real good news for all the people out there that have taken equity out of their homes through the use of variable interest rate mortgages. Today, the Labor Department disclosed, this is from BBC World News and also CBS Market Watch, in December, the total number of new payroll jobs in the United States was, and this is non-farm jobs, 1,000.
Oh, we got 1,000 new jobs.
1,000 new jobs.
Is that net or?
That's total. They expected.
Total net.
Yes. CBS Market Watch said that the Wall Street had expected between 181,000 and 200,000 jobs, but they only got 1,000 jobs. 300,000 people lost their unemployment benefits, and that's why the unemployment rate has dropped to 5.7. And we have now the lowest inflation rate since 1966. It's 1.1%.
Yeah.
And so that's the core inflation rate. So that's lowest since 1966. And
yeah, well,
they're
jiggling the books. You know, I talked about this yesterday. They've changed. For example, they're not counting home heating oil and gasoline.
Right.
They're saying these need to be seasonally adjusted later in the year.
Yes, although gasoline did drop and has not increased over the last 12 months. They implied that was also included in the 1.1%. And one more little thing, the U.S. dollar dropped dramatically again today, and it's at 128.5.
Yeah, the world knows what Bush is up to. And okay, we got 1,000 jobs. Listen to this.
With a robust package of at least $550 billion and across-the-board tax relief, we will help create more than 1 million new jobs.
Now, if you do the math on that, that's $550 billion for 1 million new jobs. That's $550,000 per job, first of all, that we're passing out.
Yep.
But where's that million jobs? It sounds like if we created 1,000 jobs with a $500 billion tax cut, that's $100 million a job we're paying.
It's well known that 65% of the people, the low end of the scale, 65% of the taxpayers, are only getting 14% of that first $1.2 trillion tax cut.
Oh, I know.
Thanks, Tom.
I know it's and the big game that they play is the difference between an average and a median.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is the thing where when you listen to statistics, you must know the difference between an average and a median. If Paul, if you and I and 100 other people are sitting in a bar and we're all average working Joes, and Bill Gates walks into the building, walks into the room, our average income just became $1 billion,
yep.
Right? But on the other hand, the median means half the people earn more, half the people earn less. The median income is still probably around $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 because he wouldn't weight it that much.
Thanks, Tom.
Important to understand. Paul, thanks for the call. Thank you very much. So, you know, you will notice that whenever the Republicans talk about how much the average American got in tax cuts, they always use that word average. And that is the magic of funny numbers is, anyhow, here we go. Moving along. Well, will Rudy Giuliani, if Cheney gets indicted by the French, will Rudy Giuliani step in? See, I'm still thinking that this is the last thing that's in George W.'s pocket to pull out, and that is to replace Dick Cheney with Rudy Giuliani on the ticket. And I continue to predict this. Well, first it was almanacs. Remember, last week the Homeland Security Department, I guess it was the week before last, said, if you see people buying almanacs, please let us know. Call the FBI, dial 911. People with almanacs may be terrorists. And then last week they made it illegal in some malls to walk the malls. 88-year-old people walking malls, security risk. They're lingering, right? You never know. They might be casing the joint, looking for the right place to put a bomb. Well, now, the Homeland Security Department has asked the Transportation and Security Administration to ask the world's airlines not to let people stand in line for the toilet. Yes, folks, this is from the BBC. Qantas Airlines said on Wednesday it would comply with the demand issued by the U.S. Transport and Security Administration, the TSA, just before Christmas, that passengers are asked not to congregate near the plane's toilets. Australia's Deputy Prime Minister and Transportation Secretary John Anderson said he was surprised by the directive, which he described as a little hard to handle. They're trying to come up with ways to ask people to politely wait for the toilet without cues for it. On a 14-hour flight from Australia, can you imagine? This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Mike Molloy Show.
Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 911.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Every time I look at you, I feel so low, I don't know what to do. Well, every day just feels to bring about the news. Leaves me here with the first world war to do.
Welcome back to the radio support group of By and For We the People. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And what would happen if you had an 88-year-old person walking up and down the aisles of a Qantas flight from Sydney to New York carrying an almanac and recurrently passing the bathroom? Would the sky marshals have to attack him? I don't know. Well, it's interesting to speculate. I don't ever know how to pronounce that. I'm sorry, Rama. In our chat room, poses the question. 1-800-TALK-YES, by the way, our number. Pete in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Pete, welcome to the program. We got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left here.
Yeah, hi. Yesterday you said that the IMF has projected our debt at $47 trillion out some number of years.
That's out, I think, 15 years or something like that.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people might think, well, we're a big country, that, you know, that's not, that, that's, you know, we can handle it. We got 300 million people. But if you divide $47 trillion by 300 million, $157,000.
It's 92% of all the personal assets of Americans.
Yeah, and if you're talking about a family of four, their cumulative indebtedness is $627,000.
Right, and that's why even with our billionaires, it would mean that we would literally be bankrupt. I mean, not just, you know,
it would just be crushing. I mean, it would be like owning two extra houses that you never get to set foot into.
Yeah, and it's a train that is headed down the track, and that light you see in the distance is that train's headlight, and it's looking right at us. And George Bush is the one who started it and is running the thing, and now he's going to talk about sending a man to Mars to get our attention away from that and from the disaster in Iraq that I think he thought was going to pull him out of it. I think he thought that, you know, we'd get the oil. Now they're talking. Just yesterday it was in the news about how they're saying, well, maybe we won't sell off the Iraqi oil and bring in the foreign oil companies. Maybe we'll create an Iraqi national oil company. And the reason why is because the whole world is saying, hey, you guys are engaging in plunder like they did in the 10th century. I mean, this is, you know, and it's just not flying. It's not flying with the world. So,
no.
Pete, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Bernie Sanders is coming up at the top of the next hour. Congressman Bernie Sanders, be sure to, you know, if you have a call, if you have a question or something, Bernie loves to take calls. We'll be back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con in conservatives. Stay tuned.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program. Take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name Carl.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The country's ballooning trade deficit is threatening to push up interest rates across the globe and destabilize the international economy. One of the world's most powerful financial institutions has warned the budget deficit, which has swung from a healthy surplus in 2000 to a forecast blowout of more than $521.2 billion this year, was a significant risk for the rest of the world, the International Monetary Fund said yesterday. Sustained fiscal deficits lower national savings in the United States and will eventually raise real interest rates in both the United States and abroad, said Charles Collins, deputy director of its Western Hemisphere Department. The Bush administration has quietly withdrawn a 400-member military team it sent to Baghdad to scour Iraq for evidence of unconventional weapons. The move indicates that the U.S. does not now expect to find illegal weapons, the main reason given by Bush for the war last year that toppled Saddam Hussein. At the same time, a prestigious Washington-based research foundation, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, has published a scathing report on Bush's case for war. The U.S. weapons team, whose withdrawal was reported yesterday by the New York Times, is the key unit of a 1,400-member U.S. survey group sent to find weapons of mass destruction. Head of the group, Mr. David Kay, is in Washington with his Deputy General Keith Dayton and may quit his post soon, the paper also reported. The Bush administration is launching an effort to persuade the United Nations to return to Iraq in coming months and to support the U.S. plan for transferring governing power to Iraqis by June 30th. The emerging U.S. strategy will be outlined Friday by the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations and Britain's U.N. envoy in a closed-door meeting with U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan, according to U.S. and U.N. officials. The United Nations withdrew its personnel after a suicide attack killed 22 of its staffers. Annan remains reluctant to send them back into harm's way, particularly if the delegation will not have independent authority to help shape the country's political future. Annan has set a January 19th meeting to discuss the United Nations' role in Iraq.
More after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
German police said Thursday they had arrested a would-be vampire robber ready to scare bank staff with his false Dracula teeth. The man, also wearing a woolen hat and sunglasses, pulled out what looked like a gun, pointed it at passing police officers who had asked him to stop as he approached a bank. Two officers managed to overpower him and found it was a toy weapon, police said in the northern city of Bremen in a statement. The suspect lost his plastic teeth in the scuffle. He was extremely drunk.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Here's an inspiring story of renewal and human gumption to cheer you. It comes from Detroit, the hard-hit, gritty city that has lost thousands of its jobs and suffered a massive outflow of population over the last few decades, leaving hundreds of abandoned buildings and vacant lots. Indeed, a third of the property within the city limits is nothing but boarded-up buildings and trash-littered lots. But today, something new is growing in Detroit, literally. Coming off of dozens of those vacant lots are tons of hay, honey, chickens, goat's milk, tomatoes, herbs, beans, and even beef. This urban agricultural abundance is being produced by a hardy group of Detroiters who are turning Motor City into Garden City. More than 40 community gardens and microfarms, working with churches, schools, food banks, homeless groups, community organizations, and activists, not only grow a cornucopia of food in this city, but also process it and distribute it, offering a terrific example of truly grassroots economic development. One of these urban farmers is Paul Weirds, a science teacher who a decade ago wanted to connect his inner city students to nature and food. He and about 100 student volunteers have converted 7 abandoned lots into 10 acres of fertile farmland. Now there are even rabbits and pheasants that have been drawn to this revitalized acreage in one of America's biggest cities, a phenomena he calls a totally surreal experience. But it's real, beautiful, and both economically and spiritually uplifting. Detroit City farmers are also converting an old auto shop into a community center with a greenhouse, cannery, and cafe. This farm-based revival draws other small businesses to the neighborhood. Growing vegetables is just a vehicle for other kinds of change, says one farmer. This is Jim Hightower saying, these Detroiters are showing us that true grassroots growth comes not from corporate trickle-down, but from ourselves. To learn more, go to the Detroit Planning Group's website, adamha.org.
Hear that Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however, each month. You'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Ian in Victoria, British Columbia, in our chat room, suggests maybe, just to wrap up our last hour, suggests that maybe George Bush thinks that Saddam hid his weapons of mass destruction on the moon or on Mars, and therefore we should go there in the great distraction ongoing process. Anyhow, it's our second hour on Thursday afternoon, on Friday afternoon, excuse me, our second hour on Friday, our regular time to, let's work together. This is great. For Brunch with Bernie, Congressman Bernie Sanders is America's independent congressman, the only member of Congress who is not a Democrat of the House of Representatives, who is neither a Republican nor a Democrat, who can honestly, in my opinion, speak about both, and is a big believer in working together. Hey, Bernie, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Tom.
Thank you. When we spoke this morning, you mentioned the State of the Union is coming up. What do you think the State of the Union is?
Well, as you know, the president will be giving his State of the Union speech on January 20th. That's an annual occurrence. And I have a pretty good idea, and I think most people do, as to what the president will be saying. And I think it's important that before we hear what the president thinks the State of the Union is, that the middle class of this country, the working families in this country, kind of do a little bit of thinking themselves about what's going on in their lives and what their state is in our union. Now, I think, for example, the president will be spouting the fact that there has been a substantial improvement in economic growth in this country. And he'll also be talking about the growth in the stock market, all of which is true. But probably he will not be talking about the fact that over the last 3 years alone, we have lost some 2.7 million manufacturing jobs, decent paying jobs, 16% of our entire manufacturing sector, and that many of the new jobs that are being created, by and large, pay substantially lower wages with fewer benefits than the jobs that we are losing. So a job is really not a job. A job is a good thing. But it makes a difference whether you're working in Walmart's for $8.50 an hour and no benefits, or whether you're making $40,000 or $50,000 a year in manufacturing, earning benefits, having a retirement plan.
Not to mention all the part-timers.
That's right. The president will talk about the decline in unemployment, which is quite minimal, but he will not be talking about the fact that at 5.7 and some 8.5 million unemployed, the fact of the matter is that that grossly underestimates what real unemployment is, because you just indicated that. So if you are listening to the program right now and you're working 20 hours a week when you want to work full-time, hey, you're not an unemployment statistic. If you have a graduate degree and you're driving a cab, you're not, because you can't find a job in your field, you're not an unemployment statistic. If you're living in a high unemployment area and you have given up looking for work, hey, you're not an unemployment statistic. So the reality is unemployment is a lot higher than the president will be talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a solid one. And just getting into this problem for a second, Bernie, if we can, I have a notion. I'd like to run it by you. You can tell me whether it's crackpot or if it makes sense. It seems to me that because, first of all, we humans create government to serve us and to protect the commons that we collectively own. And so, you know, the government is us, in theory anyway, and in practice very often. And that, therefore, if we create something that is not living, like a corporation or a church or a civic club or a union or anything like that, it has one set of rules. But there should be a separate set of rules for human beings. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was enshrined in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our human rights, although corporations have hijacked some of those. And it seems to me that if we're going to say, okay, humans are uniquely different, if we're saying corporations can move cash across borders, they can change their citizenship in an afternoon, but human beings can't. I mean, we're putting these limits on humans. You can't become a Bahamian citizen tomorrow afternoon and start saying that that's your tax domicile. That we should, on the other hand, also say labor is something that we are going to uniquely protect. So if a company wants to hire people in India for $5 an hour to do a job that is average pay $20 an hour in the United States, we can't stop them from doing that, but we can say there's a $15 tariff per hour on that labor, because you are, in effect, importing labor into the United States just as if you were importing goods.
You sure can do that, Tom.
Okay.
And that's
so,
an area that I think we've got to take a hard look on, and I'm glad you're talking about it.
Yeah. Do you know anybody are there any proposals like this on the Hill? I mean, I think we should be doing this with manufactured goods as well. If it costs a dollar and per pair of shoes to make a pair of shoes, and it costs 10 cents in Malaysia but a dollar here, we should be charging a 90 cent tariff on
pair
of shoes.
Exactly,
we should be equalizing these things.
Yes, there are some of us, not that specific proposal, but when some of us talk about, as I do, the hemorrhaging of decent-paying manufacturing jobs, because companies, and by the way, these guys are getting bolder and bolder and bolder.
Oh, it's incredible.
Head of General Electric said, he says to his, you know, one of the large corporations in America, he's shameless about it. He says, hey, I talk to my general managers, and I tell them, look at China. That's where you should be going. No sense investing in the United States. A guy from Hewitt Packard the other day, he says, and I quote, there is no job that is America's God-given right anymore. In other words, what he's saying, hey, don't expect us to create jobs in the United States. We're going to India. The guy who was head of Intel talks about the collapse of information technology in America, because all of these companies are now going to India. So your point is well taken. This is an issue. It's right up there, front and center. And what you're talking about, and we've got to keep talking about it, because most of corporate media will not talk about it, is the fact that we're not only seeing a hemorrhaging of blue-collar manufacturing jobs, we're now beginning to see the process of a hemorrhaging of white-collar, high technology, information technology jobs.
Yeah.
And that could be a huge, huge issue in this country, and we've got to address it.
Yeah, the CEO, Craig Barrett of Intel, he said that all American workers, quote, now has to compete for every job going forward. That has not been on the table before, end quote.
All right, so what do we do about it?
Now, take it off the table.
For a start, say that quote again. Let everybody hear that quote.
Sure. This is Craig Barrett, the CEO of Intel. He said the United States, quote, now has to compete for every job going forward, presumably into time. That has not been on the table before. It had been assumed we had a lock on white-collar jobs and high-tech jobs. That is no longer the case, end quote.
This is in English now. Let me translate what he's really saying. What he's saying to you, the listener, who are sitting behind the computer right now or on a telephone as you listen to this program, what he's saying is, hey, we don't have to pay you an American wage anymore. We don't have to pay you 15 or 20 bucks an hour. We don't have to provide you with health benefits. Because you know what? If you're not prepared to accept lower wages, your competition is now in India, and the wages there, by you mentioned 5 bucks an hour, that's a good wage. It's more likely lower than that. Your competition is in China. Your competition is in Eastern Europe. We can get people who work for $2 an hour. We don't have to pay them benefits. That's called, and Tom and I talk about this, is the race to the bottom, folks.
Yep.
We are going to be taking your jobs and sending it to India and so forth. And I think, Tom, and I know that this is what you're talking about, the time is long overdue. And we'll be working, my office, I can assure you, will be working on this issue. We have legislation in which would now end the so-called free trade agreement with China, because I don't believe that American workers should be, quote-unquote, competing against desperate people who make 20 or 30 cents an hour who go to jail if they try to form a union. And I think, on the other hand, in addition to that, that I do not want to see decent-paying, high-tech jobs running off to India. And these companies basically selling out American workers, that's what they're doing, and they're saying, hey, we don't really give a damn about the United States of America anymore. And then they tell us how patriotic they are and how much they need tax breaks and all this other crap. So this is an issue that is coming front and center, and I can assure you that a number of us in Congress will be addressing it, and I think some of your ideas are very useful in that process.
That's great. Thank you, Bernie. Carly Fiorina, who is the CEO of Hewlett-Packard, said, and I quote, there is no job that is America's God-given right anymore, end quote. But it was in 1785, before the Constitution was even ratified, or written for that matter, 1785, that Tench Cox, who was a small businessman in America, who was very active in American politics, good friend of Thomas Jefferson's and James Madison's, agitated and got past the first American tariffs to protect labor in the United States, to protect domestic industries. And we've had this right up until the Reagan Revolution, so-called, and then Bill Clinton with NAFTA and GATT and WTO and all this stuff. Anyhow, it's crazy. Bernie, we've got some callers here. Let's pick them up. Mark in Dallas is on the line. If you want to call, if you got a question for Congressman Bernie Sanders, America's independent congressman, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Mark in Dallas, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
That was for both of you.
Good. How you doing, Mark?
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Representative Sanders. I have a rhetorical question. What am I supposed to do?
Okay.
I'm 46 years old. I have a college degree in electrical engineering, a master's degree in business administration, honorably discharged officer of the United States Navy, commercial pilot. I'm now in my 42nd month of unemployment.
Yeah, well, okay, let's talk about it, Mark. No one has a magical solution, and no one thinks anything can be turned around tomorrow. But this is what I do know as a practicing politician, and I don't think the word being a politician is a bad thing. I think in a democratic society, it's a good thing. This is what we can do. We have got to change the political culture in America. What I can absolutely tell you, based on experience, is that the people in Washington want you to do nothing. They want you to moan and groan. They don't want you to stand up and fight back. What you can do, for example, is start organizing with other people that you know in your community. Call up your local member of Congress. Call up your United States Senator and invite them to a meeting with you and other people and say, look, it's not just that I am unemployed. We are looking at the potential in your area of work. If people are working in information technology, working on computers, we are looking at the possible loss of millions of jobs because of our absurd trade policies and because of the greed of corporate America that takes our jobs to India. Start fighting back. Hold politicians accountable. Mark, if they don't have time for you, you tell them that in November you don't have time for them. get friends of yours to sign a letter, sign a petition with 50 names on it. Demand a response. Do you know, demand a response back from your elected officials. This mythology that so-called free trade is working for the average American is utter nonsense, and people are going to have to stand up and fight back. And that's what we have elections for. If people don't respond to your needs, deal with that in November.
Thoughts,
you've
Mark?
You've made my case for me, and I just wanted to reiterate the point. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mark. This is we got about 30 seconds left before a break here, Bernie, but this is a real challenge. I've had a couple of people call now in the last week or two and say that they've tried to contact their elected representatives, and they basically get a secretary who says, we don't want to hear from you if you're not a corporation or if you're not, you know, some trade group or something.
Well, I think then what you do is you got to let you well, we'll talk
yeah.
about it in a moment. What
okay.
we do if somebody says
yeah.
that.
Okay. This is Tom Hartman. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Stay tuned. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, by the way. We got a couple more calls. We'll pick up on the other side of the break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
I know it's my duty to spend and to buy, to prove to Bin Laden I'll shop till I die. I'm a world-class consumer, I'm sure of my role. I vote with my dollars for corporate control. I'll prove that I'm loyal and rush to the store, where spending is my contribution to war. And the American flag's on the counter for sale. We're all made in China by prisoners in jail.
Abraham Lincoln on December 3, 1861, said labor is prior to and independent of capital. Capital is only the fruit of labor and could not have existed if labor had not first existed. Labor is the superior of capital and therefore deserves much higher consideration. Bernie, you were going to say how people should respond if they feel like they've been blown off by their congressman or their senator.
I think, Tom, we've got to take a deep breath and we've got to make radical changes in our political culture. And what people have to understand is that elections, that we can be involved not just once every 4 years or once every 2 years, but we can be involved all of the time.
Yeah.
For example, as I mentioned to Mark in Dallas, you have a member of Congress. Every person in this country has a member of Congress. My guess is that half the listeners don't even know who their member of Congress is. But that member of Congress is listed. He's in your phone directory. All right? She's in your phone directory. You can visit that member of Congress. Believe me, we have busy schedules, but they're in town. Bring together a group of people. If you're worried that you're going to lose your job because it's going to China or India, get 5 people, get 10 people, call up the office and say, look, we want to meet with our congressman or a congresswoman to talk about this issue. And you know what? I think you will get into the door. And you could start demanding town meetings. If you're sick and tired that your local radio station only carries right-wing nuts, you could walk into your local radio station and say, hey, we're tired of this. We're not going to listen to the station. We're going to start boycotting the sponsors who only put on right-wing radio because we want to hear some progressive voices as well. Get the Tom Hartman Show. Get other progressive shows on the air. We can be involved in political activity. We can get our friends registering to vote.
Politics is a full-time job.
And many American citizens are giving up on that. But I'll tell you that in Washington, D.C., they know that. They know that politics is a full-time job. They're lobbying. They're raising money. They're working the media every single day.
Okay, we need to move along. We got Roberta in New Mexico, Jim in Virginia, Roy in Rio Rancho, Armin in Florida, Greg in California,
all right,
Corey in Pennsylvania
here.
Okay, Roberta in New Mexico, you're on the air.
And wow, all I can say is wow, Tom, wow. Because you and Bernie, you two, we are getting straight talk here. And by that, I mean you're not shooting from the hip like those savage Neanderthals on the other shows that are totally reactionary. I'm glad that you are giving us, Tom and Bernie, the historical context of, of the times. And doing it accurately, your research is not knee-jerk. It's accurate, and it's so needed. And I wish you weren't so rare, but you are. If we had an imperial domestic as we do foreign, you should be knighted.
Well, Roberta, this is the beginning of a big wave, and I think Bernie agrees with me. The Progressive Talk Radio, Bernie has a show here in Vermont that's now syndicated on stations around the country as well, and people are starting to wake up and say, hey, we've been ignoring the voters.
Okay,
so anyhow, your question, because we've only got about a minute left before we've got to take a break.
My first question is I have two. They're both testy, so bear with me. My first question is, why isn't there more hell being raised about impeachment of this whole counterfeit regime we have there, the posse in Washington, the clique, that are not authentically elected? They are simply a rich clique, and they're very ignorant and sometimes stupid. So why isn't there some impeachment
for
so many high crimes?
Well, we got 15 seconds.
I don't support impeachment. because if you impeach this guy, you would have Dick Cheney for president, and that would mean nothing.
Impeach
what
them
we
all.
Have, Roberta, there's no simple issue. And believe me, the Congress is not going to impeach this guy. What we have to do is develop a strong grassroots movement where we get people actively involved in politics and we elect a president and a Congress that stands with working people rather than billionaires.
Amen.
That's the long-term goal, and we've got to work on it starting today.
And we'll pick that up on the other side of this break. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some chemicals widely used as flame retardants might be harming lives as much as saving them. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Several kinds of chemicals known as PBDEs are used to keep a wide variety of consumer products from burning easily. The list includes furniture, textiles, and electronic equipment. Scientists believe that PBDEs slowly escape from those products and get into the environment. Evidence is mounting that exposure to these compounds might be particularly harmful to the fetuses of animals and people. Linda Birnbaum directs the Experimental Toxicology Division of the Environmental Protection Agency in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Birnbaum says use of PBDEs in the United States has been increasing rapidly for more than a decade.
The PBDEs were really first introduced into commerce in the early 70s, but their use has increased dramatically over the past 10 to 15 years. And the concern with the PBDEs really started in the very late 1990s when they were first detected in not only wildlife, but in human blood and milk samples.
Birnbaum says evidence of the danger of PBDEs is preliminary, but it needs to be taken seriously.
These chemicals have such long lifetimes in the environment and in our bodies that the longer we continue to use them, the longer it'll take to get rid of them if we find out we have a problem.
Birnbaum says many European industries have voluntarily stopped using several forms of PBDEs. As a result, people in Europe have blood levels of the chemical that are just 1/10 to 1/20 of the levels in Americans. She says one U.S. company has voluntarily agreed to halt production by the end of 2004, and other companies are looking for safe alternatives. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Let's turn up our nose at the World Court of Law, for justice was never the point of this war. We're bombing to stop future terrorist acts. Can't you tell a war from a terror attack? I'll prove that I'm loyal and rush to the store, where spending is my contribution to war. And the American flag's on the counter for sale. were all made in China by prisoners in jail.
Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison, not some right-wing think tank or the RNC. It's Friday afternoon. It's our brunch with Congressman Bernie Sanders hour. And Bernie, Roberta had said that she had two questions. Steve, our board operator, says that she had just passed along the second one. She wanted to know if either one of us had an August birthday. She thought we must be Leos. She wanted to know our birth signs. I'm a Taurus. I don't know what you are.
I'm in September, whatever that may be.
In September, probably a Virgo. Okay, great. Well, let's get back to politics here. Roy in Rio Rancho's on the line. Hey, Roy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Roy, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Gotcha?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I happen to be a Leo. And I really appreciate Representative Sanders going out of his way to be in contact with the folks. I mean, as opposed to my House of Representative member. However, a couple, 3 points, and I'll take the comments off the air. I did see my first Hummer limousine yesterday. And I was wondering, is that one of the reasons that we went to war was to get the oil to drive Hummers, particularly Hummer limousines? Secondly, in this whole thing about jobs going offshore, and I don't remember if it was on your program, Tom, yesterday sometime I heard that the state of Wisconsin has outsourced their call service for their what used to be food stamps, but their electronic programming.
Mm-hmm.
They have outsourced that. India. That's a state government outsourcing to India, for crying out loud. One other point, one of the concerns I have, not only with the jobs and the economic devastation here at home, is the security at home. If we're outsourcing, people that make our airplanes or our shells or our radar.
Oh, there's parts of our cruise missiles that are being made in China right now.
Now, how safe does that make us if China wants to, you know, kind of jazz up the waters?
Okay.
All right, let me jump in.
One
quick question. The guest you had on yesterday, the conservative from Colorado,
yes,
that did not know about black box voting and the paper trail. Bernie, are all of the representatives as ignorant as that they don't know that there's going to be voting without a paper trail?
Right. Well, we informed him about Rush Holt. We'll see if he does anything with it. Roy, thanks for the call. Bernie, your comments?
All right, let me just very briefly, because I know we have a lot of callers out there.
Yeah.
Number one, obviously oil has a lot to do with the war. The fact that the miles per gallon that we get from our vehicles today hasn't gone down in a very long time is beyond belief. We should be driving cars that get 50, 70, 80 miles. The technology is there. That we're not doing it is beyond belief. The fact that the state of Wisconsin, if that is accurate, and I did not know that, Roy just said that, is outsourcing is not acceptable, and I will be supportive of federal legislation that will prohibit that. New Jersey attempted to do this some months ago, caused such an outrage that I believe that decision was rescinded. And number three, the point is, and Tom, you responded already, is that, yes, there's a lot of concern about the transfer of technology to China and other countries which can be used against the United States of America. Imagine giving countries that could be our potential enemies the ability to hurt us is beyond comprehension.
Yeah, it just boggles my mind that we can't build a cruise missile without parts from China right now. It's just a dictatorship that has murdered more of its people. I mean, Saddam Hussein killed 250,000 of his people. China has killed 3 million of their people that had been well documented. I mean, just a million in Tibet. Pardon me, I'm ranting anyhow. And I'm sure that's probably not your rant. Greg in California is on the line. Greg, you're on the air. Greg, you got to listen to the telephone, not the radio.
Well, that last caller set this up pretty good. My name is Greg. I am the webmaster for verifiedvoting.org.
Oh, great. Where in California are you?
I'm in Marin.
Okay.
Up here with the rest of the left-wing nuts. So
God bless
Bernie,
you all.
There's a bunch of us who have been spending all summer, and first of all, I should thank you that you're one of the co-sponsors to H.R. 2239, which we're all trying to get passed.
Yes.
And we've got a flurry of bills that have suddenly come into the Senate. We've got S-1980, which is a carbon copy of Holt's bill. and then Boxer's working on something, and Clinton's got something that needs to be a lot more stronger. None of us have any experience in getting legislation passed. This is literally a bunch of people who have never really been very involved in politics. Everybody found out about this black box voting thing. We all jumped on it, set our careers aside, and we're really looking to our leadership in D.C., like you,
who will help us
get this thing out of the committee, onto the floor, and get this thing passed into law.
We have to work together. I mean, there's no way this can be done inside the Beltway alone. But I will tell you the best way to do it. All right, we will carry this issue. And every place that I go in Vermont and when I go outside of the state, people are concerned about the sanctity of the ballot box and whether the votes that they're going to cast are in fact going to be recorded. So this is a hot issue. And you guys have done a really good job. I know Tom has been talking about it in raising the issue. Rush Holt has done an excellent job. This is what we've got to do. What we have got to do is we've got to network with people all over this country and send in delegations to go into the local congressional office and say, look, I would like to talk to the congressperson. I'd like to talk to the staff. This is H.R. da-da-da-da. We think he should go on the bill. These are the reasons why we look forward to hearing from you within a week as to whether he's going to be on it or not. Believe me, you do that all over this country, you will be surprised at how many folks thought to move on that issue.
And just to add some testimony to what Bernie is saying, next week here in Montpelier, Vermont, a group of concerned citizens pulled this thing together and called me up and asked me if I would show up.
And I've got that on the site already.
Yeah, our Secretary of State, Deb Markowitz, who I know socially, she and I, the last time I actually saw her was a couple of months ago, and she said, oh, I don't think this is such a big deal. These companies assure us that everything is fine. And I think she's changing her tune pretty quickly. Our Secretary of State and I are going to be on a panel that citizens got together and said, we're going to have this meeting. We're going to have it in the town. I think it's going to be in the library. I'm not sure. And you guys are going to show up.
And Greg, the other thing that we can do is not only push the national bill, of course, in Congress, which is very important, but we can go state by state and have the legislature and the governor saying, sorry, we're not going to use this equipment unless there is a paper trail.
Can you give me any idea as to why it is that we've had to go for 6 months now? At this point, we've got 102 co-sponsors. Five of them are Republicans. What part of this, if you look at it from strictly an academic and programming perspective...
Greg, this comes up very, very often. No, don't look at this strictly from an academic and public policy point of view. Look at it from a political point of view and a power point of view.
Okay?
You are suggesting that the ballot, a lot of this comes from Florida in 2000. All right? People are worried. There are some people who are not worried. The guy who manufactures this equipment and his friends, they like the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not think about this from an intellectual, academic point of view. Think about it from a power point of view. You've got to put pressure. We've got to put pressure on Congress. You do that by voters who say, I am concerned about this. You don't go on this bill, I may not vote for you. That's the way things happen in the real world.
Yeah.
Okay? So let's get moving on that.
Yeah, Greg, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for your comments, Greg. I agree. We've got to get something passed here.
Sometimes people just say, oh, this is a great idea. I just don't understand why people aren't on it. Hey, this is the real world. You got folks there who make billions of dollars in Washington. You know, powerful special interests don't want things to happen, and that's the way we have to approach politics.
Yeah, but the way to terrify the Republicans, if your congressman, is to say, wait until the Democrats are in control and they get control of the voting machines. If you really think that they might be corrupted. Anyhow, Will in Atlanta is on the line. Will, you're on the air with Tom Hartman and Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Thanks, Tom. In the real world, in the past, our founders, the Whig Party, broke away from the electoral process and confronted the Tories in a revolutionary fashion. When we have a Congress who would rather mince words and face up to the facts of the missing evidence of Boeing 757 at the Pentagon, the facts of a federal jury finding that the CIA assassinated John Kennedy, and the fact that President Bush's father has been tied to the CIA assassination in Dallas by two FBI documents. And when asked about where he was in Texas at the time, can't remember, and in fact was on a phone to the FBI 90 minutes.
What's your point, Will?
My point is that we have a Congress that is mincing words over this. We have treason. We have a false war. And even though Saddam Hussein was part of the Ba'ath Party, which was created by the Bush CIA in the early 60s, the same time they were killing John Kennedy, and nobody in Congress is asking about it. To me, it's two sides of the same coin.
So your question is, why is Congress not being more accountable or responsive to things like Bush declaring war without any genuine evidence, that sort of thing?
Well, let me just jump in here.
Thanks for the call.
There's one thing, and as somebody who actively fought against the United States going into this war in Iraq, that's one thing. To be honest with you, Will, I don't accept the quote-unquote facts that you offered. I have serious concerns about the Kennedy assassination, but I think we don't want to get into conspiracy theory as well. I don't think that the United States government killed Kennedy. But
yeah.
Be that as it may, the bottom line here is, yes, in many respects, the United States Congress certainly is not doing what has to be done, and that's why we have to put pressure on them.
Amen. Celia in Florida is on the line. She's called 1-800-TALK. Yes, Celia, you are on the air live with Tom Hartman and Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Happy New Year to you both, and thank you both for everything that you're doing.
Thank you.
Well, I wanted to bring to your attention an absolute confirmation about the voting problems and the voting touchscreen machines. In today's Orlando Sentinel local section, Broward recount is a blow for future of voting reforms. In South Florida, when they tested the voting reforms in a special election, they found that 134 voters did not cast votes in which they did cast. They did not have a paper trail, and I would urge you to go to today's Orlando Sentinel. It called the Broward recount is a blow for future voting reforms. There was no paper trail. This is a seat for a state house that has less than 12 votes separating the candidates.
Cecilia, you're saying there's 100 and some odd people who have come forward and said, I voted, and there's no record, demonstrably no record that they voted. Is that what you're saying?
They are in the process of investigating. I don't know exactly how they're doing it.
Sounds like they counted 112 less votes than
134.
people were there.
134 voters.
Oh, I see.
They cast no votes, but yet in which they did. And they're saying that they're in a crisis now. They're actually saying, you know, we're going to go back and we're trying to avoid this. This was in a special election for District 91 State House. Connie Mack IV is running for Congress, and they had a special election this Tuesday. And in today's Sentinel, they have proven that the touchscreen voting machines are inaccurate, and now they're in a crisis. So if you
Celia,
need...
I will check that out. I will check
Celia,
that out.
Thanks,
thank you very much for that information.
Thanks
My
for
pleasure.
The tip and thanks for the information, Celia. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. Frank in New York City in Manhattan is on the line. Hey, Frank, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to talk to both of you. And Congressman Sanders, I think you are great.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to ask you a question regarding Tom DeLay.
Yes.
How is it possible that this man can exert so much power and influence in Congress? It just puzzles me that, and not only that, but he gets away with it.
Okay. Good question. Tom DeLay is a guy that many people do not know about. The truth is, while Dennis Hastert is the Speaker of the House, it's really Tom DeLay who's the majority leader, who's really the energy and the power in the Congress. Tom DeLay is an extreme reactionary, probably the most reactionary leader in Congress that we've had for God knows how many years, if not forever. He is
forever.
He is indefatigable. He works day and night. He works only to win. There's no such a thing as compromise. He raises huge sums of money for his party. He plays a role in making sure that the legislature in Texas
the redistricting you're talking about.
Pardon me?
You're speaking about the redistricting plan in
Texas? Redistricting in Texas. That was Tom DeLay's idea, and he'll pick up five or six more seats for the Republicans there.
Now, about the fact that he's being investigated right now for campaign abuses?
Well, he is.
But who's going to investigate him if he's the one in charge?
Well, they have an ethics committee, which is ostensibly nonpartisan, but that's right. The answer about Tom DeLay and everybody else is, how does a guy like that, such an extreme reactionary, become a leader? And that is because he raises money, he's very forceful, very disciplined himself, has an army of folks who work with him. No. So we've got to defeat all of these Republicans so that somebody like DeLay does not become in a position of leadership. But I want to get back to the point, Tom, that I make over and over again. No magic solutions. You got an extreme reactionary leadership. The way we beat these guys are by political organization, by knocking on doors, grassroots activism, registering people to vote, and getting those votes cast on Election Day.
Okay,
this is an extremely reactionary White House, and Tom DeLay is certainly an extremely reactionary leader.
Yeah, we got about a minute left before the next break. We've got one of the folks who's dropped in from our chat room, the live chat room that runs at the same time the program is running, Kill Your Television in New Jersey. Welcome to the program. You're on with Tom Hartman and Bernie Sanders.
Hi, thanks, Tom. Thanks, Bernie. I was just wondering, how do we get the word out to the normal everyday people about NAFTA and the WTO? Because you talk about these things, and not many people even know what NAFTA is or the WTO is.
Yeah.
So,
good question.
Well, you got some
thanks.
Folks in New Jersey. You got some members of Congress in New Jersey who have been strongly concerned about NAFTA, voted against it, against the trade agreements. And I have to tell you this. I think we need to build a strong grassroots movement where we get out literature that people can understand. We distribute it. We knock on doors. We use the Internet. We fight our way onto corporate television and radio.
Yeah. Step by step,
right.
Person by person. Okay. Gary in New Mexico, hang on. We'll take your call right after this break. We'll have about 3 minutes to wrap up the hour. This is Tom Hartman. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Stay tuned.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese.
humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius satellite radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, some people think that unions are too strong. Union leaders should go back where they belong. But I wish that they could see a little more poverty, and they might start to sing a different song. Well, let's look at old Kentucky for a while. It is hard to find a miner who will smile. Well, the Constitution's fine, but it's hard reading in the mines. And when welfare stops, the trouble starts to pile.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Bernie, we've got Gary in Los Angeles on the line. Gary, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Tom, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate this show. I just wanted to say that I understand what you're talking about the reality of politics and working in that context. And it seems to me that there's three things that are going on.
Gary, you got to be really quick. I'd like to pick up Nick in New Jersey's call, and we got 2.5 minutes.
Okay, anyhow, the bottom line of politics is to be reelected. And the electronic voting machine issue you've been talking about, the Tom DeLay redistricting thing that assures a Republican Congress, and the consolidation of the Republican media, those three things are directly responsible for people getting reelected. And
these are all very serious problems. I got it, Gary. Thank you for the call.
Gary he's right on, and we got to
And the question, Bernie, that I have for every one of my listeners is, what are you going to do? Not you, Bernie.
Well, the answer. What are we? For example, all right, the media issue, the consolidation of media is huge, and it is time for the American people to rebel. If there are local sponsors who are giving you only right wing crap, tell them you're not going to buy their products unless they put some alternative points of view on the air. The American people are entitled to that. You can do it.
Okay, let's get Nick from New Jersey in here. We got maybe 30 seconds, Nick, if you got a quickie.
Yeah, I'll try to make it quick. Hey, it seems the overriding theme right now is how to get people involved in the process. And I've thought about this thing for a long time. And it seems, though, what do? We have Election Day, yet it's regulated to just basically a nothing.
What's
day
the point,
where you
Nick?
Where you got to fly from work and go to try to
Nick
vote.
Is right.
This should be our biggest holiday.
Nick, you got it right on the head.
Good
we
one.
Should have
good
a
one.
Democracy Day where people have the whole damn day to vote and not just go in there after work.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should be
well
talking
said.
About it. Nick is right. Election Day deserves a whole day off.
Or maybe even two. Maybe,
maybe
a weekend, a weekend day and a weekday.
Yep. I think you're right. Makes a very good point.
Yeah. Okay, great. Congressman Bernie Sanders, thank you again for being with us this week.
Well, thank you, Tom. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Great. Great. Thank you, Bernie.
Bye-bye.
This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, where our talking points, I already told you about that, truth and common sense in broadcasting. Stay tuned.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those ads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the home.
have been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The Bush administration has quietly withdrawn a 400-member military team it sent to Baghdad to scour Iraq for evidence of unconventional weapons. The move indicates that the U.S. does not now expect to find illegal weapons, the main reason given by Bush for the war last year that toppled Saddam Hussein. At the same time, a prestigious Washington-based research foundation, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, has published a scathing report on Bush's case for war. The U.S. weapons team, whose withdrawal was reported yesterday by the New York Times, is the key unit of a 1,400-member U.S. survey group sent to find weapons of mass destruction. Head of the group, Mr. David Kay, is in Washington with his Deputy General Keith Dayton and may quit his post soon, the paper also reported. The country's ballooning trade deficit is threatening to push up interest rates across the globe and destabilize the international economy. One of the world's most powerful financial institutions has warned the budget deficit, which has swung from a healthy surplus in 2000 to a forecast blowout of more than $521.2 billion this year, was a significant risk for the rest of the world, the International Monetary Fund said yesterday. Sustained fiscal deficits lower national savings in the United States and will eventually raise real interest rates in both the United States and abroad, said Charles Collins, deputy director of its Western Hemisphere Department. George W. Bush plans a major policy speech next week in which he'll promote a new space initiative, senior administration officials said Thursday. Bush will lay out his vision for expanding the space program, which is expected to include long-term moves for manned missions to the moon and eventual manned missions to Mars, an official said. NASA's target for a moon mission is 2018. The speech will come just a couple of weeks before the anniversary of the breakup of the space shuttle Columbia as it returned to Earth last February 1st. White House spokesman Scott McClellan, traveling with Bush in Florida, confirmed the announcement will take place next week and said it would be an outgrowth of a review of the space program that began after the shuttle disaster. More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A woman who said she lost the winning ticket for a $162 million lottery prize will pursue her claim in court, despite possible questions about her credibility, her lawyer said on Wednesday. Alicia Battle went to court on Tuesday to try and stop Ohio lottery officials from distributing the prize they had awarded a few hours earlier to Rebecca Jemison. Battle claimed she bought the winning ticket but lost it when she dropped her purse outside the door. Jemison said she had it all along and had played the same numbers often.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Ah, good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Here's an inspiring story of renewal and human gumption to cheer you. It comes from Detroit, the hard-hit, gritty city that has lost thousands of its jobs and suffered a massive outflow of population over the last few decades, leaving hundreds of abandoned buildings and vacant lots. Indeed, a third of the property within the city limits is nothing but boarded-up buildings and trash-littered lots. But today, something new is growing in Detroit, literally. Coming off of dozens of those vacant lots are tons of hay, honey, chickens, goat's milk, tomatoes, herbs, beans, and even beef. This urban agricultural abundance is being produced by a hardy group of Detroiters who are turning Motor City into Garden City. More than 40 community gardens and microfarms, working with churches, schools, food banks, homeless groups, community organizations, and activists, not only grow a cornucopia of food in this city, but also process it and distribute it, offering a terrific example of truly grassroots economic development. One of these urban farmers is Paul Wiertz, a science teacher who a decade ago wanted to connect his inner-city students to nature and food. He and about 100 student volunteers have converted 7 abandoned lots into 10 acres of fertile farmland. Now there are even rabbits and pheasants that have been drawn to this revitalized acreage in one of America's biggest cities, a phenomena he calls a totally surreal experience. But it's real, beautiful, and both economically and spiritually uplifting. Detroit city farmers are also converting an old auto shop into a community center with a greenhouse, cannery, and cafe. This farm-based revival draws other small businesses to the neighborhood. Growing vegetables is just a vehicle for other kinds of change, says one farmer. This is Jim Hightower saying, these Detroiters are showing us that true grassroots growth comes not from corporate trickle-down, but from ourselves. To learn more, go to the Detroit Planning Group's website, adamha.org.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. We were just talking about political activism and how to get involved and how to get active. And just as an FYI, I mean, I realize that the percentage of our listeners in the state of Vermont is relatively small compared to the rest of the country. But nonetheless, on Thursday, January 15th, at the Unitarian Church here in Montpelier, we're going to have a potluck dinner at 6 and a forum at 7. And the reason I mention this is not because, you know, I know most of you won't be able to show up, but you can do this too in your community. It's called a Forum on Voting in Vermont, and it's co-sponsored by the Vermont League of Women Voters, which is a well-established organization. You will find one in every state. Vermonters for Voting Integrity, which is a group that has come together out of nowhere. I mean, they've just, you know, this is a group of people who have just coalesced around this issue. And a group called Peace Vermont, which I frankly don't know much about, but I suspect has been around for quite some time as an activist peace group. I'm unfamiliar with them. I'll learn about them on Thursday the 15th. And I'm going to be speaking. They have a professor from Norwich University, one of the nearby universities, who is an expert on computer security systems, and he's going to talk. They've got Marge Gaskins from the Vermont League of Voters, women voters, James Hogue from the Voters for Voting in, Vermonters for Voting Integrity, and they invited our Secretary of State, Deborah Markowitz, and she's showing up. And she's the one who makes the decisions about whether or not to buy voting machines. So she gets to hear from the experts, and she gets to hear from the people. And this is democracy happening. This is the healthy democracy. I'm always I don't know what the right word is. Not surprised quite, but whatever. I think it's slightly ironic that so many folks call when we have various elected representatives on the congressman yesterday from Colorado, the conservative Bernie today. And essentially say to them, what are you going to do about this problem or that problem? And that's a very, you know, it's an important and legitimate question to ask. I think it's very important that we hold our elected officials accountable, that we ask them what's going on, that, you know, and ask them how they stand on issues and what they're going to do. But I also think that it would be so easy. I mean, it would have been so easy, it would have almost been a cheap shot for Bernie to have said to a lot of the calls, well, what are you going to do about it? Because you and I, we're the ones that ultimately have the power in this situation. And if a right-wing cabal has taken over this country, it's because we've let it happen. And I don't mean that in the self-flagellating, you know, oh, let's lay on the ground and whip ourselves and say how bad we are. But rather in the wake-up way. You know, there's the old story about two guys walking down the road they both tripped in a bump on the road and fell on the street, and one grabbed a stick from the side of the road and started hitting himself over the head, going, oh, I'm so terrible, I fell down, I'm such an idiot. And the other one stands up and dusts himself off and keeps walking. And, you know, we've hit that bump in the road with this country. And it's time for us to get up and keep walking. We've got to get up and keep going. So, you know, step by step. I want to get into health care in this hour. We've got some fascinating statistics, and the right wing has started the great PR machine. We've got some right wing talking points. Before we do that, though, we'll take a call from Armin in Florida. Armin, I'm sorry I was going to get to your call with Bernie there, and things just got away from me. Thanks for calling. This is Armin in Florida.
Not a problem. I'd like to cover a few points, if I would, if you give me a little time. First, have you seen any of the excerpts from Kevin Phillips' new book, American Dynasties?
No, I have not.
In my opinion, my conclusion is he may have not explicitly stated it in his book that way, but the Bush political family is really, in my opinion, nothing more or less than a front for criminal institutions and the wealthy. It's very simple. That's just my opinion. And I think there's a fair majority of people that agree with me. But another thing, Tom, I wanted to go over, and I was going to ask Bernie this, and then I want to make one comment, and I'll let you go on. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity. Is, you know, a lot of people, I listened when Clinton was into the right-wing radio because it was primarily, that was about it. There was more left, I think, or more opinions, you know, and contrary to what was being spewed out there by the right wing at that time period. But remember, they had a fascination with his zipper. And so people, maybe they ought to look at it like this. When wasn't the media fascinated with Clinton's zipper? Well, and I went back, and my memory, if I'm correct, they weren't fascinated, and they backed off of Clinton's zipper when he passed GATT, when he passed NAFTA, and when he gave the capital gains tax cuts right there, when it was political hot and heavy, he finally conceded and gave them what they wanted. And the Heritage Foundation, Dan Michaels or whatever his name was, or he said, oh, that money won't be bottled up, which is proven now to be a lie. It always is a lie.
It would be interesting to graph that stuff out along with the Telecommunications Act as well. You know, it's,
right.
Where was he being nurtured, and where was he being, where were they taking the carrot and where were they taking the stick?
Right, exactly. So when you look at it from a perspective of, or the context of, ask yourself, when weren't they persecuting him and fascinated with his zipper? And every time that he did anything, in my opinion, against the majority of the people's power base or representation, and did it for the wealthy or the people that threatened him, obviously, or I think they did, You know, they backed off and they polished him and put him out there signing the legislation and showed him playing golf and
I got it, Armin.
They're ruthless, you know. Filthy, dirty people. And I want to say one thing and then I'll let you go. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. May I please?
Sure.
Here's the way I look at it. Here's how far we've come. Then Clinton inhaled and we turned ill. Now Bush sucks and everybody ducks.
Okay. Thanks, Armin. I appreciate the call. And that's entertaining. That's interesting. You know, and you're, well, yeah, good points. Good points all. Health spending in the United States surged to $1.6 trillion in 2002. The statistics for 2002 are now available. That's about $5,400 for every American. And it outpaced the growth of the rest of the economy for a fourth straight year. Now the significance of this is pretty dramatic. In 2001, which is the last year for which we have international statistics, this country spent 47% more on health care per person. And by this country, I'm not talking about the government. I'm saying all of us together, when you take up all of our health care expenditures, we spent 47% more per person than Switzerland, which is the second biggest per capita spender in the on the planet, in on Earth, in the world. So we spend the most. Switzerland is number two, and then it goes on down from there. And we spent 47, this was 2 years ago, we spent, and it's grown since then, we spent 47% more than Switzerland. Prescription drugs, just in the last year, prescription drugs went up 15.3%. Clearly, they're not being considered in the market basket of goods for the Consumer Price Index. Hospital spending rose 9.5%. I mean, where are our inflation statistics? Why are they not being, why are the needles not being pegged by these things? Well, because the folks in Washington figure out, you know, what they're going to count and what they're not going to count, as we discussed yesterday. This article in the Associated Press today by Mark Sherman, healthcare spending hits record $1.6 trillion, goes and makes the point, increased financial pressure on private employers and governments alike, the common response was to shift costs to employees and beneficiaries. If it seems like you're spending more for healthcare, you are. And in particular, states already are imposing limits on the Medicaid program for the poor. So if it seems like the poor are being shafted, they are. And yes, we are putting people in jail over this. Hospitals are actually starting to pay. Hospitals are the most aggressive debt collectors in America. Hospitals. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, Bill Frist, his family owns a whole, they sold out most of their share of it, but they owned the largest hospital chain in America. Built it up by buying up small nonprofit hospitals once it became legal for for-profit corporations to own nonprofits. Squeezing the blood out of them and then selling them off. And this is just absolutely wrong. The bottom line is that if we're spending 47% more per person in the United States on health care than Switzerland does, and Switzerland has national health insurance, then we could certainly, for the amount of money that we're spending right now, easily insure fully health, dental, eye exams, everything. Every single man, woman, and child in this country right now. The math is just so irrefutable. Now, in the face of this, the right wing have come out with their talking points on health care. This is from nationalcenter.org, one of the right wing websites. It actually says talking points on health care, right? And let me just share with you the right wing perspective. And as I'm sharing this with you, keep in mind that this is true. What they are saying is true. If you assume that the purpose of a hospital is to make a profit, it is not true if you assume that the purpose of a hospital is to heal people. And now here's their news release. Some advocates argue that a universal government-run single-payer health system is the solution to America's health care problems of rising costs and a substantial uninsured population. However, you know, blah, blah, blah. For example, nationalized health systems typically control costs by setting fixed annual budgets for medical services. When any hospital treats more patients, it costs more. In the U.S., the hospital is paid for treating each patient. Yeah, either blah, blah. If the same number of cases, in the small number of cases where the patient is, yeah, they go through this. Okay, thus, U.S. hospitals have incentives to treat more patients because each patient brings in more profit, hold down costs by treating patients quickly and efficiently, and treat difficult and expensive cases since they will be paid more for those treatments. In contrast, in a national health system with fixed hospital budgets, the incentives are reversed. The more patients a hospital treats and the sicker they are, the quicker it'll use up its budget and be forced to suspend services until new money is available. Thus, the hospital's incentives are to spend its budget predictably by treating a steady, limited stream of patients throughout the year and to avoid patients with expensive but not immediately life-threatening conditions. And again, this is the, you know, their talking points on health care. Makes perfect sense if you assume that the whole purpose of a hospital is to make a profit for somebody like multimillionaire Senator Bill Frist. But if we go back to the way it was in the United States from the founding of this country up until the 1980s with Reagan, that hospitals have to be nonprofit corporations, and in many cases, in most cases, are actually owned by the counties or communities in which they reside, and their purpose is to provide health care, not to generate profits for somebody, then you can it completely flips on its head, this particular talking point. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The pill that will help you escape the matrix. The Tom Hartman Program here on the IE America Radio Network. Hospitals. Here's this guy, Jim Beam, in Urbana, Illinois. Jim Bean, excuse me.
Yes. Good old Jim Beam. Yes, know him well. Anyhow, Jim Bean in Urbana, Illinois, a couple of years ago, back as I recall, 7-8 years ago, tried to kill himself, shot himself, and survived. And they took him to the hospital, and the hospital patched him up and discharged him and sent him a bill for $7,000. And one could guess, I mean, I don't know the circumstances of Jim's life in detail, but perhaps underemployment or unemployment had something to do with his suicide attempt. Let's just say it did, because it certainly does with a lot of them. We know from this report that was published in Britain 2 weeks ago, that under conservative administration, suicides go up substantially. They argued that just during the years of Margaret Thatcher, 35,000 people died who wouldn't have died under a liberal administration, as opposed to a conservative administration. That was just looking at England. They also looked at the United States and Australia and found the same statistics were true. The same percentages, the same ratios, the numbers were different. But anyhow, let's say this, this guy, he's unemployed, he tries to kill himself, he goes to the hospital, he gets out of the hospital, they send him a bill, he can't afford to pay it. He doesn't have the money to pay it. So the hospital turns him over to a collection agency. The collection agency starts to track him down and charging him interest. They take him to court 11 different times, as I recall. He shows up in court and says, "I'm sorry, I don't have any money." And they say, "Okay, we don't have a debtor's prison in America. You try again." And then one of these times, he doesn't get a notice that he's got a court date. So he doesn't show up. So they issue what's called a body attachment. A body attachment is essentially an arrest warrant. And they go out and they arrest him and they throw him in the county jail in the lockup along with everybody else, until his brother comes along with $3,500 for bail and bails him out. And then the collection agency goes into court and says that $350 that the bail bondsman, you put up 10% for your bail, the $350 that he put up, you got to give that to us. And the court says, okay, cool, there you go. And so it's like
debtor's prison as a way to enforce debt repayment. I want to go through some of the myths of single-payer healthcare systems and how actual delivery happens. But before I do that, we got a couple of callers here. We got Kip in Texas and Joe in Brookings. Kip, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yeah, I'm down here in San Antonio, and I was listening, and I called yesterday, and I didn't get through for this one thing, talking about double standards, and we all know about Martha Stewart.
Yes,
you probably are aware of the Neil Bush thing with making $171,000 on a stock trade, aren't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. I thought he made a whole lot more than that, but yeah.
He made $798,000.
There you go. Yeah, 700,000.
There was one day where he bought it in the morning and sold it in the afternoon, and he's a consultant to them. He says, "Well, I didn't do anything wrong."
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for them to, investigate him.
Yeah, but he's not female. He's in power. He's a member of the Bush family. I mean, you know, yeah. It's a good example of the double standard there, Kip.
Doesn't he also own one of these companies that is involved in the testing of students?
I don't know, Kip. I just don't know.
Okay,
I know that the companies that are involved in that are making out like bandits right now, though, under No Child Left Behind. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some chemicals widely used as flame retardants might be harming lives as much as saving them. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Several kinds of chemicals known as PBDEs are used to keep a wide variety of consumer products from burning easily. The list includes furniture, textiles, and electronic equipment. Scientists believe that PBDEs slowly escape from those products and get into the environment. Evidence is mounting that exposure to these compounds might be particularly harmful to the fetuses of animals and people. Linda Birnbaum directs the Experimental Toxicology Division of the Environmental Protection Agency in Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Birnbaum says use of PBDEs in the United States has been increasing rapidly for more than a decade.
The PBDEs were really first introduced into commerce in the early 70s, but their use has increased dramatically over the past 10 to 15 years. And the concern with the PBDEs really started in the very late 1990s when they were first detected in not only wildlife, but in human blood and milk samples.
Birnbaum says evidence of the danger of PBDEs is preliminary, but it needs to be taken seriously.
These chemicals have such long lifetimes in the environment and in our bodies that the longer we continue to use them, the longer it'll take to get rid of them if we find out we have a problem.
Birnbaum says many European industries have voluntarily stopped using several forms of PBDEs. As a result, people in Europe have blood levels of the chemical that are just 1/10 to 1/20 of the levels in Americans. She says one U.S. company has voluntarily agreed to halt production by the end of 2004, and other companies are looking for safe alternatives. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I don't want millions, mister. I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the right to live, mister. Won't you give me back my job again?
Abraham Lincoln, message to Congress, December 3rd, 1861. Our quote for the day, labor is prior to and independent of capital. Capital is only the fruit of labor and could never have existed if labor had not first existed. Labor is the superior of capital and deserves much the higher consideration. One of the folks in our chat room pointed out that the $798,000 in profit, inside trading profit, and the $170,000 in one day where he was a consultant of the company was made by Neil Bush, the brother of George W. George W. Bush sold his Harkin stock and in an apparent inside trade, which was never investigated by the SEC. The head of the SEC wrote a letter saying, this is not an exoneration of you. We are just not going to look into it. As a consequence of political pressure. And George W. has claimed that he has been cleared by the SEC when they, in fact, went out of their way to say that that was not the case. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Joe in Brookings, Oregon's on the line. Hey, Joe, how are you today?
Fine. I was wondering if I could put out the phone number for the Kucinich campaign.
Why?
Well, because he ain't contradicting himself. These days, like Howard.
No, I mean, are you talking about a national number or an Oregon number? Or,
yeah, it's a toll-free.
Is there something in particular
number.
You want people to do?
Yeah, you know, to get in touch with the Kucinich campaign because, you know, nobody's even voted yet.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. Don't you think his website is more useful? It's Kucinich.us, www.kucinich.us is his website.
Well, yeah.
And his phone number's there.
The phone number is 866-41-DENNIS. And, you
okay.
know, that's the thing, you know, they want to get in touch with a real person. You know, about Howard Dean, I think one of the problems these days is that he's obviously taken a lot of stupid advice from the likes of Al Gore. I don't think Al Gore is doing the Howard Dean campaign any favors. Could you look at Howard Dean trying to convince everybody about his love for Jesus Christ. And all that, man, that has got Al Gore's fingerprints all over it. I mean, just all of a sudden, you know, Howard Dean just likes to go around talking about his love for Jesus Christ.
Well, he's 1 month away from the primaries in the southern states, where the churches are very, very active in politics. And
well, specifically the South Carolina primary, I'd stay away from there. I wouldn't even campaign in South Carolina. He's obviously doing a lot of political contortions to try and make himself over into a new candidate just for that one primary. And also the comments by
my recollection here, Joe, is that he said that in response to a question.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just come out one day and say, hey, I want to tell you all about religion. Somebody asked him a question, he gave an answer.
Well, no, I don't think that is true because then he starts talking about, I changed my mind about civil unions, and I started looking at the Bible or whatever, you know, so I guess according to Jesus Christ, God would be for civil unions, but I guess he wouldn't be for gay marriage.
The point he was making, Joe, and I'm real uncomfortable here being in the position of defending any one of the candidates, but I think if you were misrepresenting Dennis Kucinich, I'd be trying to defend him as well. The point that he was making is that there is a legal contract that is involved with marriage, and there is a religious institution called marriage, and that churches, religious institutions, should have the right to decide who they're going to marry, however they want to do it, because the state has no business in religion. That's the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. On the other hand, with regard to all the legal rights that go along with this institution, whatever you want to call it, number one, those are administered by the states, and so the president has no say in it ultimately. It's a non-issue. But number two, Howard Dean, here in Vermont, signed legislation that gives people all the legal rights of marriage. Absolutely all the legal rights of marriage. And if a church performs a ceremony, they can call themselves married by that church.
Yes.
And that was the point that he was making. Joe, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I got to move on here. Nathan is on the line in San Francisco. Hey, Nathan, what's up?
Hi. Well, I noticed something interesting that I thought should be pointed out, and that's that on the 5th, the RNC brought out its memo talking about the Hitler ads on Move On and how, of course, we all know they were just the contestants that submitted things that were then hosted on the site so they could be judged.
Anyway, not only that, they were pretty good ads.
Yeah. But the next day, Fox News picks it up. And the day after that, the organization calling itself Move Right has its first press release and the first evidence it ever existed. And so I just thought people should look out. There's this Move Right. People obviously don't know why Move On is called Move On. And it's going to try to do everything on the right and sound like it's the same organization.
Oh, that's entertaining.
Anyway, it just seems like that's what's going on. I thought people might want to take a look at it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, then the next day, then the next day.
Yeah.
If only we could know who's behind it. Anyway.
Well, I don't think we have to scratch our heads too much. Nathan, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Amazing the machination. You know, what I find amazing is that this Club for Growth bunch is out there in Iowa spending hard money, I mean serious cash, running ads trashing Howard Dean. And, you know, why is it that the Republicans, that the conservatives would be trashing Howard Dean? Well, the reason why, in my opinion, is the same reason why Dick Nixon had his Dirty Tricks squad, specifically, I think it was Chuck Colson was in charge of this thing, go up to New Hampshire and forge letters from Ed Muskie referring to New Hampshireites of Canadian ancestry or French ancestry as Canucks, I don't know how it's pronounced. I've just seen it written. And I used to live in New Hampshire. That's how rare the word is. But anyhow, forged this letter, and it got printed in the Manchester Union Leader, which is a right-wing newspaper. It used to be run by a guy named Bill Loeb. He's dead now. But he always ran his editorials on the front page, and they were the most vitriolic, spiteful, outrageous right-wing rants that you could ever imagine. And there are some who suggest that Ed Muskie, somebody even spiked his coffee that morning because he got up on that flatbed truck and started talking about his wife and started crying and stuff. And you know, it was this concerted attack to bring him down. Now, why did they want to bring him down? Because they knew that they had done the polling, and they knew that if Nixon ran against Ed Muskie, he would lose. So the work that the Republicans were engaged in was sabotaging Muskie's campaign and supporting McGovern's campaign, because they knew if they ran against McGovern, they could win. And I'm guessing that these guys have done some polling. I mean, the last poll that I saw showed Howard Dean within 6 points of George Bush. And when you figure that most polls have a 3% margin of error, plus or minus, that's within the margin of error for all practical purposes. And George Bush has been campaigning consistently and steadily since he first took office. I mean, Karl Rove has clearly followed Lee Atwater's advice that you campaign every single day of the year. Everything he has done has been choreographed in a political fashion. And despite that, here you've got, you know, somebody who a year ago nobody even knew who he was, and he's in a position where he could beat George Bush. So I think that the Bush bunch, and in addition to the Bush bunch, then you've got Hillary Clinton wanting to run for president in 2008, And I am personally convinced, and, you know, maybe this is paranoid theory or whatever, who knows, but I'm personally convinced that, Wesley Clark got pulled out of the hat specifically to stop Dean, because they know that Wes Clark is sufficiently a political neophyte that George Bush will eat him alive. I mean, you look at him in the debates and things. I mean, he doesn't hold it together. And the ads that they're running are all biography ads. And the Clintons talked him into running in order to stop Dean, and because they want to make sure that George Bush gets reelected in 2004. I really have come to that conclusion, as grim as it sounds. And I remember hearing it months ago from right-wingers and thinking, these guys have gone off the edge. This is conspiracy theory run amok. And yet the more you look at it, the more it seems credible. And it's really giving me pause. It's thinking about what's going on with the Clinton family. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Judy in Illinois is on the line. Hey, Judy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Hi. I don't agree. I think the candidates running have a right to question each other as to their policies. And I haven't seen any slandering going on. And I think that's much exaggerated about going after Dean, supposedly. I think Clark is a very good candidate. I don't think he's there for any nefarious means.
Well, Judy, he voted for Nixon. He voted for Reagan. He voted for George Bush Sr. And 1 year ago, he was speaking at a Republican fundraiser talking about how George W. Bush was one of the best presidents in the history of the United States. You don't think that the tape from that fundraiser is going to be played if Wes Clark runs up against
Well, I think
George
they should
w.
play them. And
it's going to wipe him out.
Clark, and I think they should question Dean. They should question everybody's what they supported at their agenda in the past. And I think this should be up to discussion before the primaries, so the people know, and they have a right to select the candidate that they want. This has to be open discussion, and I don't know why it's just against Dean, but Dean also questions other people. And they have picked, the media has picked Dean to be the winner before the primary, and I resent that.
Well, it seems that
I resent
that
very much, because I'm a progressive, and I wouldn't dream of voting for Dean.
Yeah, it seems that the polls have picked Dean, and the media, with their great herd mentality, have been following.
Yes, but
Judy, have you seen any...
You know, on the websites, MoveOn.com and Democrats.com, Kucinich is first on Democrats.com and second on MoveOn.com. So Kucinich is not way back in the pack. There's something wrong with these polls.
Yeah, MoveOn.org, you mean. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any negative attacks coming out of either the Kucinich campaign or the Dean campaign? I have not.
I haven't heard anything negative, but the media is ignoring Kucinich, which is just as effective as not allowing him to even have a voice.
I agree, it's terrible.
They're just ignoring him as even being a candidate.
Yeah, I agree, it's terrible.
I mean,
and it started with Ted Koppel.
Dean has the only chance. No, I don't agree with that, because once the agenda comes out for Dean, I don't think that his agenda is what the union people want and the workers want. He's pro-WTO. He's
not pro-WTO, Judy.
He is pro-TWO. He has supported it in Vermont.
He was pro-WTO when he was governor of Vermont, as were a lot of people.
On the press club, I heard him say it to the union people in Iowa. I support the WTO. I know you don't agree with me. I heard him say that to union workers in Iowa. So he changed his mind, is that it?
Well, what he said is that the trade agreements have to have worker protections, environmental protections, and there was one other kind of protection that.
That's not good enough, because the WTO. Think of Enron.
Well, what
did the WTO do about
WTO.
Enron? They did nothing.
Oh yeah, the WTO is the problem in my mind. Judy, thanks for the call. I got to move on. I got a couple of other callers. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number. Scott in St. Louis is on the line. Hey, Scott, you don't want to see a man on the moon?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good.
Hey, did you hear about that? I don't know if you've been talking about it. I missed most of the show today.
Yeah, I picked it up on the first hour. It's John Kennedy talked about putting a man on the moon right after the Bay of Pigs debacle as a way of changing the subject. I think George W. is going to raise it as a way of diverting attention away from Iraq.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what do you think the chances are that Halliburton will get that contract to build the base?
Yeah, well, and maybe they'll find some WMDs when they get there. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe when they get to Mars, too, there's probably oil there in that big crater they found.
Yeah. Scott, thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. By the way, we just got this in from CBSNews.com. Howard Dean's presidential campaign was just endorsed by Senator Tom Harkin. He's the senator from Iowa, so that's going to have some consequences, I suspect, in Iowa. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And in Florida, wanting to come back to health care, which is the topic that we had started out here. We kind of got off on a tangent, didn't
we, Ann? Right. Well, I'm going to lead you back there. How about that? Because Howard Dean is for everyone having health insurance, which is something Bush is ignoring totally.
Yes.
And instead of sending people to the moon, they should be worrying about the 50 million people that don't have insurance at all in this country. And all those rest of those people who think they have insurance, you really need to go look at your policies, because in 38 states now, under Bush's watch here, they've managed, these people that give all this nice money to the Republicans have managed to insert into those states so that they can change the policies. They've got a nice little line. It's a subject to change without notice. So you think you have coverage, and when you go to use it, you find out, no, you don't. You don't have what you think. What we ran into is that insurance companies now are only paying what they consider their actuary rates. So if you have a major illness, instead of paying what the hospital charges, like 80% of what the hospital billed you for, they're saying, no, we'll pay 80% of what we think it's worth, and then the hospital says, wait a minute, that wasn't enough money. We're coming after you.
Yeah, yeah, and this is happening all across the country. We're oddly, Vermont is not wanting to drum the Vermont drum too much here, but this state has really strong consumer protection laws against insurance companies. As a result, there are only four insurance companies that will do business in this state. When I moved to Vermont from Georgia, I had Geico, and they dumped my insurance as soon as I got here. Same thing happened to my brother-in-law. It's for car insurance. And the same thing with the health insurance. There's only three or four health insurance companies that will still operate in the state. You're right, Ann. It's a national crisis, and it's time that we did something about it. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, Syria! Because they have weapons of mass destruction.
This is so much fun. Spin me around again. Iran! Oh, I love this game. Uncle Dick, can I play this game so much?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Price tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
No matter what you are, I will always be with you.
And welcome back. News without conflicts of global corporate interest. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We still on the air? Boy, did that pop off quick. Nick in New Jersey's on the line. Hey, Nick, welcome to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi again, Tom. Going back to this moon thing, just looking at the pattern of the present administration, I mean, there is nothing that these people do that's altruistic. And so when they announced this, that they're thinking about this, I immediately thought, why in the world would these guys want to go to the moon? And the only thing I could really come up with is these guys want to circumvent the ban on space-based weapons.
That may be a part of it. I think that they're already getting around that, frankly, with the HAARP thing.
But this was just giving them some extra funding for it.
Yeah, but I suspect that the main reason is probably the main reason that John Kennedy did the moon thing after the Bay of Pigs is that they want to change the subject from Iraq.
Right.
And I think it's going to backfire. I think people are going to say, hey, wait a minute, I'd rather have health insurance.
Right.
Nick, thanks for the call. I got to move on. We got a Whistle in Alabama is on the line. Hey, Whistle, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're a Whistle from the from the chat room, right?
Yep.
Cool. What's up?
What's up with that town, Killington, Vermont? They're a want to succeed. We did that down here in Alabama several years back, and it don't work real well.
Yeah. You got some right-wing cranks in this town, and it's the right-wing strategy to make Howard Dean look bad is to trash Vermont. You're hearing all kinds of wild stories around the country now about Vermont. Vermont, you know, Vermont has this problem, Vermont has that problem. You don't want Vermont to come to your town. And so the, you know, a bunch of right-wingers in this town have gotten together, and they've gotten some publicity for it because it's outrageous. But in no way does it represent the sentiments of even a sizable minority of the citizens of Killington. Killington is a fine community and a great ski resort, you know. So. Yeah.
Well, you take care.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Thanks for the call, Whistle. It's just, I mean, this is just an example of the manipulation of the political process. Just to summarize, healthcare system, if we were to go to a national health insurance program, a single-payer healthcare program, the healthcare delivery system remains private. You could still have your private doctor. It's simply the government pays the bill, that's all. The health insurance program could save $150 billion just on paperwork. Most businesses would save money. This would be a huge boon to the United States. And it's something that I think virtually all, with the possible exception of Joe Lieberman, of the Democratic candidates are calling for, something we need to do. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for being with us today. Our program produced by Louise Hartman, Brad Walrod in New York doing the music. And let's see, Steve Damschroeder was running the board here all day in Detroit. Thank you, Steve, for your great engineering. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America.